It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Happy Friday to you. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being locked in. My name is JR. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. And this is exactly where I will be, here with you for the next 3 hours. This show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Yeah, I've been hanging out for an hour already. We talked about the ridiculous traffic in Los Angeles. Got the Lakers playing. Got concerts. You got a high school game at SoFi Stadium. You got the World Series. You got USC. Everything is going on in L.A. They said they're going to have more police outside, too. That's what they said. We talked about that crap ending to Thursday Night Football last night between the Vikings and the Rams. We talked about Cooper Kupp. Sean McVay says he ain't moving. We're not going to trade him. Okay. We'll see. Tua Tagovailoa is going to be on his way back. Is Tyreek Hill going to play? He's dealing with a foot issue. Nick Saban, he's worried about Tua Tagovailoa. And we have so much more to do. How about this? In about 20 minutes from now, to take a look at all the NFL slate of games on Sunday and Monday, we're going to be joined by former offensive lineman, former Steeler, Max Starks. He's going to come through and join us. He's all over radio and TV right now. Next hour, we're going to have a chat with Mike Sanford Jr., played quarterback at Boise State, was offensive coordinator all over the place. This is a Western Kentucky coach and Colorado coach before Deion took over. Yeah, Mike Sanford Jr. is going to join us. If you want to join me and super producer and host Ryan Hickey, he's here with us too, you can. 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4227. If you have the internet, you're just scrolling your life away, messaging strangers, maybe you're making money. If you're making money, good for you. You can find me. I'm at JR Sport Brief. You can always listen to the show on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You got SiriusXM? It's channel 158. If you have a smart speaker, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. We're about an hour away from the World Series starting. Now, I know that play. By the time that game starts, first pitch, a little more than an hour, come on now. That place, Dodger Stadium, is going to be empty. Now, when I say empty, I'm not saying there will not be a human being in there, but you're going to be able to count just wide swaths of empty seats because you really have no choice but to drive everywhere in Los Angeles. Is that metro? That line is not taking you nowhere. I know they want to expand it out to the airport, which is a ridiculous. It hasn't, but God only knows how long that is going. You got to drive everywhere. And to even have a bus system, public transportation in Los Angeles, the bus got to sit in traffic with everybody else. Hickey Ohtani is going to be up the bat. And if he hits a home run in the bottom of the first, half of the stadium won't even be there to see it.
Half feels generous.
Oh, my God.
That is a tough time. 5 o'clock local, right in the middle of Friday rush hour, if nothing else was going on. Oof.
You think people quit work early, right? They just didn't go to work today? Nothing?
I mean, I'm not even sure if a half day, taking a half day of work, could get you there on time. You may have to just take a full day off, leave at like 10 a.m. and just hope to get there by 5.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. L.A. is too big, too many people, so many overpopulated, like a lot of places. Hickey, I don't know what, well, today, even here in Atlanta, it's a crazy weekend. We have festivals and concerts and, you know, right down the road from me, the Hawks, they're getting ready to play in another 30 minutes. We got a Jelly Roll is here. There's a big festival, big, giant two-day, three-day music festival. I walked into the building today and I saw even more traffic than I typically would. And I'm just like, man, this is crazy. What are we going to... No, I'm not going to ask that question.
I was about to say, are you suggesting something?
No.
No. Based off like a movie premise,
no.
Maybe?
A movie? No. No, 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 no. I was going to suggest there's just so many people. Every place is a lot of people, okay? That's it. No suggestions by me.
A lot of people. Maybe we need a second Earth.
Yeah, there we go.
Why don't we do that? Right? Why can't we just create another Earth right next to us?
It's called the moon. It's dead.
on these robots. How about we worry about putting people elsewhere first? Get the robots involved.
Maybe the robots will help with population control.
Well, they definitely will. Maybe that's wipe us right the hell out.
It's maybe exactly what they're working on. Building all these robots to get the people the hell up on out of here. But if anybody does get to Dodger Stadium, they are now going to see the 12th meeting. Count them, 12 meetings in the postseason between the Yankees and the Dodgers. This is the most seen pairing in Major League Baseball history. They haven't played each other since 1981. The New York Yankees last won the World Series in 2019. The Dodgers last did it in Tampa Bay. They took on the Rays in Dallas, in Arlington, because of COVID. Like, think about that. The Lakers and the Dodgers, they both won their titles. One team won it at Disneyland or Disney World, and the other one won it in Texas because of COVID. Yankees are going for title number 28. Dodgers are out here going for title number 8. They do all of this while remembering Fernando Valenzuela. We learned that he passed away this week. His sickness. He was doing the broadcast and doing his media work, and he just got sick a couple weeks ago, and then he passed away, unfortunately. So they're going to be honoring Fernando Valenzuela. And at the same time, they're going to be trying to go out there and win another World Series. Yankee fans are going to be disappointed if they don't get one. Dodgers have theirs a little bit more recently, 4 years recent. And so it's time to get it on. Gerrit Cole is going to be on the mound for the New York Yankees. And Gerrit Cole, he's just like, I know I got to face Ohtani and Betts and Muncie and Teoscar Hernandez. He knows who he has to face. Gerrit Cole says, we ain't too shabby either. Did you see our guys?
Trying to just be convicted to every pitch. You know, you're not really sure what the opposition's going to do, and you know that they're lethal when they do swing. So, you know, you gotta give every pitch a chance, by fully committing to it. And, you know, so be it. If the ball gets hit, hopefully you take those situations and you learn from them just like you do when you have success.
Or he was talking about trying not to get his own ass whooped. Everybody's dangerous in this world, sir. Everybody. It's Stanton, Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman, if his foot works. Hope his foot is fine. I don't think he's going to play every game. That's why I say this World Series is close. We had Scott Miller on last night from the New York Times. And he's giving it to the Dodgers just because of home field advantage. I'm doing the same. And I'm a Yankees fan. I love the Yankees. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm from the Bronx, New York. I'm a Yankee at heart. Whatever the hell they call it. Yeah, I'm a real Yankee from the Bronx. I hope they win. It's a coin flip. Coin toss. It's a 50-50 series. I don't think one team will dominate over the other. I know Hickey thinks the opposite. He thinks that the Dodgers may smash these Yankees. And I guess Mookie Betts feels the same. Because Mookie Betts, he said, this is just another series? What?
It's essentially the same game. We can't do anything different. We still have to play Dodger baseball. So it's really just resting up, getting emotionally ready because we know it's going to be a lot, and physically ready, and really just getting ready to play more baseball.
No, not the same. Not the same. Yeah, you have to play the game the same. This game is not the same. There was a media day with all of the players yesterday. And Dave Roberts spoke today, and Aaron Boone spoke to. This is y'all the last two teams here. This ain't no ordinary game. This is different. It's winner take all. These are the two biggest media markets in the United States of America. East Coast, West Coast. I even saw a dumbass. Hickey, did you see the dumb promotion? I hated it. I mean, it wasn't full bore, but it had like Biggie and Tupac. And I'm like, what are we doing? Can we just let both?
Really?
Yeah. Can we let these guys rest in peace? Like, what are we doing? Boy. Is that necessary? No. Let them rest. Let them play baseball. Let these guys play baseball. And speaking of letting rest, this was always a wild topic of conversation. I can't believe it actually existed. Dave Roberts was asked, and I don't know why. Dave Roberts was asked if Shohei Ohtani was going to pitch in the World Series. Listen to this.
It's my turn to ask the annoying question. Is there any possibility of Shohei Ohtani pitching for you in the World Series?
There is no possibility at all. None whatsoever. Thank you for asking.
I know it's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. Is it an annoying question or is it a stupid one? Oh, my goodness. Shohei Ohtani. They had to cut this man's arm open last year, last offseason. They paid this man. They committed to paying this man $700 million over the next 20 years. This man just had a 50-50 season where they sold his home run ball for $4.3 million. He's been ramping up. He started throwing back in August, you know, getting a couple pitches here, a couple pitches there. In what world, for anyone who's ever looked at somebody throwing a baseball, whoever followed baseball, who has ever looked at a guy and said, he's never pitched this whole entire season, but we're going to throw him out there in the World Series? What? Come on. Like, is that even, like, why we, did we just want the soundbite from Dave Roberts? And I get everybody was giggling and hee-hee and ha-haing, but come on, man. Is more invested into this man than anybody. Of course he's not pitching in the World Series. Asking Dave Roberts is just a formality, I guess. If you want anything from Shohei Ohtani here, you want a couple of home runs, you want some bombs. When he has some guys on base, he's killing it. With nobody on base, he's falling asleep. This is going to be a good one. Mookie Betts says it's just another series. Dave Roberts tells us don't expect to see Shohei Ohtani. Gerrit Cole says our lineup is good, but their lineup may whoop my ass. And what does Aaron Boone say? Aaron Boone, whose fans have been trying to get him fired since he showed up. Let's remember, a lot of similarities between Aaron Boone and J.J. Redick. They went from television, ESPN, into managing, into coaching. How about that? If J.J. Redick would only have the type of success that Aaron Boone has had. But Yankee fans are mad. They don't want success. They don't want ALCS appearances. They want championships. And Aaron Boone, he likes these Yankees. He likes his team because he feels that they do not quit.
We've had our shares of ups and downs this year. It hasn't been a perfect season by any means. We've had some tough moments, some low moments, and these guys have never flinched. Remarkably, just an ability to shake off a tough loss and come back and go get it tomorrow. Even when you're flying high, the ability to just like, okay, the next one's the most important. So they've had that trait all year, and it's served us well.
Good. I'm just happy. I'm happy for Aaron Boone. I'm happy for Brian Cashman. I'm happy for Giancarlo Stanton. Because when the Yankees aren't doing good, they happen to fall into a category of sports fans who just become nutty. They believe everything. They want to fire everybody. There's certain cities that just want to give everybody the boot at the same time. Philadelphia. Boston. Chicago a little bit. I don't know what it is about the Northeast. Everybody's just angry. Hickey, it's the weather, right? It's the weather. It's getting ready to change. Everybody miserable?
That's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No coincidence, Philly and New York about 90 minutes apart, and just everybody's miserable. Ugh. You would think they had to listen to Nick Sirianni all day, but they don't. Just miserable. Hickey, 7 games, Dodgers. Dodgers at home.
I agree with the Dodgers. I'll take them in 5.
Okay. Now, this one is going to hurt, Hickey. I feel differently about the Yankees than I do like the Knicks and the Jets. I do. Like I can root for the Jets to be losers. I can root for the Knicks to be losers. Never the Yankees. Never.
They're number one.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Well, they also haven't been embarrassing like the Jets and Knicks have for years and decades. So
they're right. Yeah, they're right there. Numero uno. Yeah, let's go Yankees. I just want a competitive series. Let's do that. It's the JR Sportbrief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Speaking of competitive, we're going to talk to someone who competitively moved people around for his career. Right now, he's an analyst on Sirius and ESPN, covers all things football. Max Starks, former Steeler, former NFL player, former lineman, former everything, is going to join us on the other side of the break to take a look at some of the games happening this upcoming weekend. You're locked in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. What a busy weekend. World Series, college football, NFL, basketball. We got it all. One thing I'm really looking forward to, of course, is Sunday and Monday. Well, maybe one of the games on Monday. But to take a deeper dive into some of the storylines, what's going on in the football world, as someone who played in the NFL, someone who has two Super Bowl rings, someone who right now is an analyst and breaking things down all over the place on Sirius and ESPN. Joining us right now is a former Steeler, Max Starks. Max, how are you?
I'm doing good, JR. How you doing, man?
I'm excellent. Thank you for taking the time and joining us. I know you're busy. I want to get this one out the way. You were a Steeler. That's where you made your bread and butter. I don't know if this is the best of things, not for the Giants, but the Steelers and Giants, we got them on Monday. I know you'll be there. What are your thoughts on what the Steelers have done with this move from Wilson to Fields? Were you in favor? What are your thoughts of it?
You know, I was in favor of it. I thought it was something that, you know, Mike Tomlin kind of said it best in the week leading up to that Jets game. He's like, you know, don't think that this is a bad thing and that Justin's been playing bad. It's not that he's been playing bad. He's been playing good. But he said also, don't mistake good with great. And I thought that was kind of the signal of what the expectation is for this team this year is we're going for greatness. And I think, you know, the one thing that made it a lot easier in the decision-making was in that Raiders game, early on in that game, Justin had three straight opportunities for passes to open receivers. And he kind of sailed it on all three of them. And, you know, that was one of the things where I said, okay, well, let's open the door. Let's think about what the options are. And, you know, he'd been watching Russ. Obviously, there was something there. That's why he named Russ the star. That's why he never changed that starting position. When Russ was injured, he never said, okay, Justin, you're QB1. He said, nope, we're operating business as usual. Justin's going to prepare as though he's going to start. And I think we saw the difference between the two approaches. You saw the touch throws downfield to George Pickens, to Pat Freiermuth, to Calvin Austin, Van Jefferson on a touchdown throw. And you said, okay, this is different because you have to remember last week, that was the first time that wide receivers had touchdowns this season in seven games. So it's one of those things I look at it, and that was the difference. We want to be a team that threatens through the air as well as on the ground. And Justin had the mobility to get out of bad situations and extend plays and make something out of nothing. But sometimes you want that more professional, polished quarterback look with a touch throw that's 30, 40 yards downfield. And when you look at since 2016, Russell Wilson is tops in the league at that. And 10-plus and 20-plus air yard throws. So that's where I think it was – I wanted to see it. I wasn't necessarily on board, like, oh, my God, get Justin out there. But I wanted to see what it could look like with that, and I think it paid dividends. I think it was the right decision, and that's why Mike Tomlin says he's well compensated for the decisions he has to make.
It's short, sweet, and to the point when he said it, too. Max Starks is joining us here, former Steeler on the JR Sport Brief Show. You talk about quarterback play. It was good to see Russell Wilson back there on the field. I'm going to take a wild guess and assume that they're going to wipe out and beat the New York Giants on Monday. We got to wait for that. Before we get there, we will see another great quarterback, this one Patrick Mahomes, stepping out onto the football field for the first time, likely with DeAndre Hopkins. What do you think this pairing is going to look like? I certainly believe DeAndre Hopkins still has something left in the tank. How is this dynamic going to change and elevate these Chiefs?
Well, you're already bringing in a guy who has 12,000-plus receiving yards. So you know what this guy can do when you put the ball in his hands. He's a guy that I think, you know, watching him with the Cardinals over the last number of years, and, of course, following his career when he was with the Houston Texans, I mean, he's dynamic. I mean, you know, 50-50 balls become 80-20 balls when he's involved. He's going to get that ball more often than not. He has humongous hands, great catch radius, great body control. And I think that's something that the Chiefs haven't had the last couple of years. And that's why Patrick Mahomes' numbers have struggled, you know, in the last 2 years since Tyreek Hill left. And I think that's where you kind of, you know, Rashee Rice was that guy that was on target before he got injured in week two. You have to realize Rashee Rice had 24 catches in two games this year. And it wasn't until recently that Travis Kelce actually overtook him for the lead in receiving and receptions for the team. That's how dynamic of a loss it was. And that's why you go and you get a Juju Smith-Schuster. And Xavier Worthy's good, but Xavier Worthy also hasn't had more than three catches in the game, and he got targeted 8 times, you know, last week. And it still only came away with 3 receptions. So there's a question about consistency in catching. When he does catch it, it's magical. But the problem is there's win in front of that. And I think with DeAndre Hopkins, you get a sure-handed receiver who has the respect of every defensive back in the league. And now, does that free up Xavier Worthy on the deep ball by drawing the safety away and making it easier for Xavier Worthy to catch it? Or does he pull that linebacker out of the box just enough on those deep digs and crossing routes that now Travis Kelce gets even more open on the underneath stuff, which is kind of what Juju was doing, to a lesser degree, a poor man's version of that. And I think that's where the intrigue is there, because you have to realize Patrick Mahomes is coming off one of his worst quarterbacking performances since his rookie year, where he had a passer rating of 44 and he threw 2 interceptions and no passing touchdowns. So there was an inflection point, I'm sure, with Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, like, please go get me somebody. Like, you know, we weren't in the Brandon Ayuk lottery, we weren't in the Davante Adams lottery, but I need somebody out here that can catch the football consistently. And I think it was a perfect opportunity to get a guy like D-Hop. Now, will D-Hop change his tune because he's now with the Chiefs and realize that he can get a Super Bowl ring and they're trying to go for a three-peat? Will he start practicing on Wednesday or Thursday, whichever his mandatory, you know, union break day is? I don't know, but it is a great opportunity, I think, for this Chiefs team to get some more consistency in passing the football.
We're talking to a 2-time Super Bowl champ himself. Max Starks is joining us here on the JR Sport Brief Show. Hey, we know Patrick Mahomes got himself a few rings. You got a few rings. This guy who debuted, or at least came back last night, Cooper Kupp, he got himself a Super Bowl ring. And Sean McVay, he said that he's going to be sticking around. Do you think that's a matter of posturing, or do you think Cooper Kupp will be the next wide receiver moved?
You know, I think that Kupp probably won't move immediately. But I mean, granted, because I think when you have two dominant receivers like the Rams have with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, and Cooper has a very nice contract that I'm sure won't hurt him, you know, sitting there and taking the number two type of position, even though I feel like he's still wide receiver one on that team, and Puka gets the beneficiary number two repetitions. But I think as long as you have Matthew Stafford there as quarterback, unless they were tanking, I think you have to assume that it would have to be a really sweet deal to get Cooper Kupp from the LA Rams. And I don't know if there's a lot of if there's that much dissent in that locker room. I think they're more so injury riddled when you think about the offensive line and some of the defensive line injuries they've taken, and now they've gotten their receivers back, but it was bare bones for a minute as far as offensive production. I think now that you have them settling in, I don't see Cooper being the next guy to move. If there's anything, I would probably look, you know, elsewhere. I'd probably look at like a Mike Williams possibly from the Jets being a potential move guy. I would think, you know, you've already pretty much taken away the only thing that Tennessee had. You know, you start poaching that bottom of the barrel. Maybe you look at some guys in New York. But, you know, for the most part, I think the big wide receiver moves before this trade deadline have all been made, and it would take something really fantastic to get a talent like Cooper Kupp out of L.A.
Oh, Mash, you talk about injuries. My goodness. Look at the 49ers. Ayuk is now done. Debo coming out of the hospital with pneumonia. Christian McCaffrey with the Achilles. They're sub 500. Do you see the 49ers being able to bounce back? It's still early, almost midway. You think they got enough time?
I mean, it would take a monumental effort just because of the lead I think that the rest of the NFC has taken, especially the NFC North, right? When you look at that division alone, if the playoffs started today, JR, all four teams in the NFC North are in the playoffs. They have the division leader, and all three wild cards are all there because all their teams are two games above 500, right? That's where, you know, I struggle with where can San Fran make up space, and they've already dropped games in their division. And that's also conference games. And so when you're thinking about conference and division games being one of the tiebreakers that gets you into the playoffs, I don't know if San Fran will have enough to consistently compete week in and week out without those guys present. Like, they have to be at full strength to be able to compete. And since you don't know the timelines for when a Christian McCaffrey's coming back, and you're uncertain because Debo Samuel just popped up and you lost Ayuk for the year, you know, George Kittle and Jordan Mason can only do so much magic. You know, I would love to see what Ricky Pearsall can do coming back, if he can kind of get some of those catches. If Pearsall can come back and return to form of what the expectation was at the beginning of the year before he had that unfortunate incident, then maybe they got a shot. But if they don't and they're still waiting, I don't know if it's already too late for the San Francisco 49ers this season.
The former offensive lineman, current analyst, is joining us, Max Starks. You talk about that NFC North. We know it's stacked. The Lions sitting at the top. The Vikings took a terrible loss last night. But the Bears, man, they got a good matchup coming up with Caleb Williams, and hopefully we see Jaden Daniels out there for the Washington Commanders. What are your thoughts on how rookies are now able to make that transition straight from college into the league versus when you were playing? And do you think we'll see these two guys balling out for the next decade or so?
You know, I was a little concerned at the beginning of the year with Caleb Williams. And I was like, man, this is going to be rough for him. And then you've seen he settled in. I mean, and now he's going for the rookie record this weekend. You know, if he goes for another two touchdowns, he breaks the rookie record for most touchdowns by a rookie quarterback in their first season. So I think when you look at that, yeah, they're coming in a lot more NFL ready, not game ready, but NFL ready than they were in the past. But it also takes quarterbacks being a starter in college for multiple years. And I think for Caleb Williams, getting a year at Oklahoma, 2 years at SC, and Jaden Daniels getting the year at ASU before getting the years at LSU, I think those are what the factors are, is that you have to play quarterback more than one season to really hit the ground running, because you look at Kyler Murray struggled, right? He was a one-year wonder. Even the Jalen Hurts had his own issues in the first year, and even though he was a multiple-year starter, but, you know, he was on again, off again after his first 2 years, and I think that adversity made him better in year two. You know, the Mitch Trubisky's of the world, right, that one-year wonder, 12 starts, and you see what their careers have looked like. Guys who've played more and more for these top-level programs and played with NFL-caliber receivers to throw to, they've adjusted a lot better. And I think for these two, they're two young rising stars. You know, I think of C.J. Stroud from last year, right, how he just came on the scene day one. I mean, literally took Houston from worst to first, you know, in their division and made it to the second round of the playoffs. That's something that's now becoming more the norm than the aberration. And I look at these guys and they have the touch, they have the presence, they have the mobility to help them get out of trouble for things they haven't seen yet, things they haven't cycled into their encyclopedia Rolodex of success. And they're able to manufacture their own version of success until they do get the requisite experience. So it is something where I think these two can be balling, and they could be, you know, especially being in the same conference, could be the Brady Manning that we've been looking for, as far as two guys that just go at it and duke it out for NFC supremacy.
Well, Max, let me ask you this in conclusion. You talk about success. You've been able to have it on the football field with the Steelers. You've been able to transition into business and all your work on air. We had a conversation earlier in the show about Tua Tagovailoa. We know this is football. Nobody walks away unscathed. This is not an easy business. What are your thoughts on Tua and just the return? We've seen three concussions that are documented. God only knows some of the other hits that we have seen. What are your thoughts?
You know, JR, this is my fear. Because we've seen such devastating hits that led to the concussion. Not just hits, but, you know, it's devastating hits. Two out of the three, and the other one was a rebound effect, you know, after that first concussion. The rebound the second time was more so the impact with the ground and back up. My fear is that defensive players will be scared to hit him because nobody wants to be the one that delivers the final blow, right? And I don't know if that helps him, that guys will be nervous about that. But my fear is what's going to go on in the back of Tua's mind, you know, when he takes that first hit and he crunches up or he winces up at the shadow of somebody going past him. That might be an almost sack, right? A guy falling at his feet, you know, to wrap him. You know, will he be gun shy? You know, those are the things that go through my mind. I would have loved to have seen him get another week under his belt, you know, because I know they went the full blow in practice. And they went and they did contact just to make sure. But it's just for me, like, you get cleared and then you're right back out there. I get the level of desperation if you're the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, when you accept a contract, if they clear you, and you're ready to go, you got to go. But sometimes you have to protect the player from themselves. And I think now that we have this renewed emphasis in player safety, that's one where I get nervous. And I get nervous, and, you know, I know production will come back, but, man, he's so susceptible to another triggering event that I don't want it to be the final event. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where my fear lies with it. But, you know, hey, if the coaches say it and he feels comfortable and confident that he can go out there and play, who am I to say different? But I'm going to definitely be holding my breath until that first hit happens.
Yeah, I think we all are every time we see him out there on the field. Well, Max, thank you for taking the time to join us, a former Gator, a Super Bowl champ, a former Steeler. Where can people follow and listen to you and all your work as you analyze everything going on in the league?
All right. Well, I mean, I'm on SiriusXM. I usually do the Monday night post games for NFL radio. I'm an iHeart in Pittsburgh. I do a 5-day a week show with Craig Wolfley, our color analyst. I'm the sideline reporter for the team. So you can hear me on every Steelers broadcast for sure. I work for ESPN as well. So I do college on Saturdays. I usually have the number 2 game of the week. And then I also do ESPN Sunday football when the Steelers don't play on Sunday. So I'll be doing the Chiefs Raiders game this Sunday, followed by Monday night football game. And then of course you can check me out on X at MaxStark78. MStark78 on IG. You know, I try and post some little tidbits and nuggets out there. And then if you're in the Valley, 98.7 every Wednesday, Maximum Football coming to you live. So that's the quick and easiest way.
It's a lot. Max, you're doing a lot. Go fix them Gators. Go help them out too, okay? Go fix out your folk, okay?
I got cocktail party next week. I am not happy about that one. So don't worry. I'm going to hold my breath and I'll let you know if I live through it.
Hey, Jacksonville awaits you. You got a bulldog here. We'll see what we do, okay? All right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll do battle. We'll catch you on down the line. Be well. That Max Starks, 2-time Super Bowl champ. Yeah, we got the world's largest cocktail party. Make your way on down. Florida awaits you. Florida and the Bulldogs. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Thank you so much to 2-time Super Bowl champ, football analyst. He's doing college. He's doing the NFL. He's here. He's there. He's everywhere. And he took time to chat with us. Thank you so much to Max Starks. Yeah, I'm not alone. He played in the NFL. He knows about the bumps, the bruises, and even as an offensive lineman, look, there ain't no easy job for anybody. But nobody was out there trying to hit Max Starks. They were trying to get to Ben Roethlisberger, and he was trying his best to not let them do it. Even he is concerned about Tua Tagovailoa and what he will look like or what he might look like. And as of right now, out in Los Angeles, busy Los Angeles, we told you about the 5, 6, 7, and 8 different sporting events that are taking place in L.A. The New York Yankees and the Dodgers, they are in the process of being introduced. Hickey, it's a good crowd. People are standing up right now, so you don't see a lot of the empty yellow seats, but a good crowd, all things considered. I think they did good.
I would agree. I mean, considering, again, as the news clip from KTLA cited, Carmageddon that you're going to expect today for an early start with how much is going on, I would say Dodger fans did a good job. It looks like a lot of people took off work, which is the right move.
How did they con the fans to get? They had to be a con job, right? Yeah, they're sucking them. No, people are smart enough to take advantage of this, right?
By take advantage, you mean what?
I mean, it's the World Series, you know. You don't show up late to this. You know it's going to be bad. You don't take it for granted. It's the World Series. You got to show up. You got tickets. Just get there early. And no time for dilly-dallying. Everybody knows there's a crap ton of things going on in L.A. You don't mess around with this.
And I'm sure with the prices that most people paid, you're not paying all that money to show up late or miss a few innings, right? You're getting your money's worth.
What was the cheapest ticket to get in the building? Do you know?
I did not see for Dodger Stadium tonight. I was talking to Stu before, a Yankee fan. He was saying for Game 3, you can't get into Yankee Stadium for under $1,000. Just get in the stadium.
One ticket.
One ticket, and it's either standing room only or it's all the way up in the nosebleeds.
$1,000 upstairs, back up against the wall, or standing room only.
That's right.
$1,000 for one ticket?
For one ticket. So I would assume that, especially since it's a Friday, right? Oh, I mean, again, it's a World Series, so it doesn't really matter when it's played, but especially with it being a Friday, I would bet you very similar prices. I'm going to try to see if I can get anything here, but very similar prices for Dodger Stadium.
World Series ticket prices are the second highest ever. A Yankees home game could run you nearly $5,000. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm not spending that type of money for no baseball game. The average price for a World Series ticket in the secondary market is almost $4,000. The second most expensive average since it started tracking in 2010. Second, third high, lowest price available for the series is game for the series. It doesn't matter. L.A., New York. $1,100 for game 2 tomorrow in L.A. That's it. That's the lowest price anywhere for anything.
I just pulled up Yankees game 3. I lied. At least on the secondary market, you can't get in the building for anything less than
$1,600.
$1,600? Grandstand level 432. That is, including fees, $1,643. You are above the left field foul pole. On SeatGeek, they rank it 1 to 10. They say it's a good deal out of 6.
Above? Did you say above the foul pole?
Yep. Oh, yeah. You're higher than the foul pole. You may need binoculars.
You look down at the foul pole is underneath you. You see the top of the foul pole.
If there's ever a home run that goes over the foul pole, the umpire should consult with you because you'll get the best view of it of anybody.
Man, you have to have a crap ton of money. You have to have, I don't want to say I'm buying Shohei Ohtani's baseball. You don't have to have that type of cash, but you got to have a lot of money just to just fully just say, yeah, I'm going to spend $1,600 to look over the foul pole when you could stay home. Like, I wouldn't do that. Like, even to pay that amount of money just to get in, just to say you're there, no thank you. I don't think it's worth the frustration, not for me at least. And then if you have a rooting interest, to pay $1,600 to have that experience, and then, I don't know, your team gets blown out 10 to nothing, it's just like, what did I pay for? I don't know. No, not me. Hickey, does everybody, that's 56,000 people. That place is going to be full.
Oh,
is everybody a drug dealer? Like, how does that work?
I'm looking right now for tonight because usually you can get some cheaper tickets last second. They try to just pawn them off so that you don't have a total loss. Right now, there are two tickets available for Dodger Stadium tonight that are under $1,000.
What are we talking? $800 a ticket?
$950 and $923. And right again, we're 20 minutes away from game time. Like, this is the time where you got to just drop it and sell it. Oh, $923 still 20 minutes before the game starts is the cheapest price.
Wow. That's some wild stuff. And like we said, this place, they are panning Dodger Stadium. It, you know, you find two seats, three seats that are empty, but this place is full. Earl Hirschi is out there getting ready to help throw out the first pitch. Steve Yeager out there as well with him. It's the JR Sportbeat Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to get into some more football. We'll talk some more baseball. We got you covered. It's the JR Sportbeat Show, the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.